Welcome back, everyone. Let's now take a deep breath and enter into our time of centering the Word of God in our lives. We'd like to do that now as Judy Blevins reads our theme passage for this season from John 15.
A reading from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks so much, Judy. And this passage here carries with it an image that I really believe God is giving us as a gift in this season. This beautiful image of how connected we are to each other through Jesus. So you think of this beautiful, massive tree with all these branches that are connected to the trunk, and then they're connected to each other through the trunk. That's this picture in our stage of disconnection, that we together are connected. And so this is an image, like images are really powerful. And so my prayer for all of us is that this would be an image that like you can't unsee. You know, have you ever had an image you can't unsee? Like I had one this week. My daughter, Camila, she sent me this horrible, horrible picture through text. She has this like, you know, she's, I don't know what she's doing. She's in high school, but they have this, I don't know, this app or something where you take a picture of yourself. So she took a picture of herself and then she turned herself into like a lemon head. Like it's a head of a huge lemon. And it's just like horrible. Like, oh, what happened to my daughter? So of course she's like, I'm like, Camila, don't send it. I can't unsee that. And then, oh, so whatever. So now she sends it to me like every day just to annoy me. Anyway, I hope that this image is an image you don't want to unsee, that this will actually bring us comfort and joy and hope. And each of these images has a little bit different nuance. And today our nuance is going to be the passage we see there on the screen in the beginning, this picture of the Father as the vine dresser carefully taking care of this plant. And the other thing that I think has been fun in this series, we just started last week with hearing from different people who are sharing highlights of ways that we've been connected over the last year. And so like last week was really great to hear Roy and Karen just talking about ways that they've had God's grace to connect with us in ways that are fun and just really help lighten our load during this heavy time. And so as I was looking at verses 1-3 that you see on our screen, I just thought of a time that from, I think it was like November or something, in our eco discipleship group, and there was a time when John Romankiewicz gave a presentation on just what he had been learning and how he'd been growing. And I totally thought of that presentation. I was like, John, this is perfect for this passage. Would you be willing to just give the same presentation to our whole church? And so he graciously said yes. And so I would like to now, give the stage over to John Romankiewicz, and he's just going to share the same thing he shared in the group that day, and then later we will connect it to this beautiful image in the passage. So, John, thank you for sharing with us. Take it away.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for getting the screen share set up. You can hear me okay? So folks who don't know me as well, my nickname is Sustainable John. Sastiasi Shaf and Dar. Wow, Dar, after that video or that performance last week, I'm really regretting not getting you in one of my music videos, but I know it will happen one day. So I've had the pleasure for, I don't know if it's 2 years now or even 3 years now, but joining a lot of Gary's environmental justice life groups and connecting with so many CWOW folks through that. And a lot of folks ask me, how do I measure my carbon footprint? And what's my carbon footprint? And what should I do about that? And everyone looks to me because I'm a sustainable gentleman. But when I looked into my own carbon footprint, I found kind of like a little ugly secret, which is that basically I fly a lot. So I used one of these carbon calculators and I looked at all my flight emissions, like all the flights I took over since like beginning of 2018. And I put it here on this graph. So like month by month, wow, I'm flying like almost every month. And it's so much carbon. I think I averaged like in 2018 and 2019, I took like 16 round trip flights each year. In the end of 2019, I like went home for Thanksgiving to the East Coast. And then I had to fly twice for work, the Sierra Club. I'm like flying all over the place for work. And then I flew to Australia to see Ginny's family for Christmas. And then there was all these wildfires there, fueled by climate change. And I was like, wow, this is a lot of carbon. It's a lot of like, I have a lot of like privilege here to like spending all this money and emitting all this carbon all the time. Maybe I should look at that. And then the pandemic hit and planes stopped flying. I stopped flying. And then you can kind of see my emissions flatline here, which is a good thing. So I was emitting less carbon, but it kind of struck me because I was like, well, once the pandemic's over, what am I going to do? Because it's been kind of, I didn't really make this choice to not fly. It's just kind of how society is right now. We're not traveling for work. I can't go see my mom. There's a risk of like passing COVID onto her. She lives in New Jersey, all the way on the other side of the country. So that's a long flight. So it's something I've been thinking about a lot. It's like kind of a challenge. And I was thinking about my work and how we're all adjusting to working from home and see our clubs not as cut all travel because they have to save money because we're getting less money now. And, you know, we're still doing our work. We're still actually achieving a lot of victories. And so I was like, huh, maybe I could cut out my work travel. Maybe I could cut out some of my personal travel and all this flying this and that place. You go to the next slide, Gary. And so I said, you know, there's a BAU, business as usual scenario, that I just go back to flying all the time. I'd be emitting this much carbon. Most of it is from my flying. But if I cut out most of my work trips and tried to cut my other flying like in half, I'd probably cut my carbon footprint in half. And so this is something like a little challenge to myself I'm trying to think about. Obviously, I still need to see my family. I mean, we try to go see Jenny's family every other year. They're in Australia. Got my mom in New Jersey. Got my brother in Philly. Other brother in Montana. It's kind of like some families are like this. We're all spread out everywhere. And maybe flying is part of my life. But at the same time, I think there's a lot I can do to try and reduce it. And so I've been praying on that, and we'll see when the pandemic's over, but I feel like it's a little challenge for me. And the other thing is that we've been talking a lot about in the environmental justice group is, sure, we can reduce our footprints, but, you know, everyone has some footprint. So what can you do about offsetting that? And Gary's been so involved in the carbon tax group that he mentions a lot. I'm sure you know a little bit about it. But I basically, you know, decided you know, I'm still measuring my footprint. So maybe I could choose a price on my carbon emissions, and I could choose an amount to basically tax myself and then challenge myself to kind of take ownership there, but then do it in a way that's like caring. So maybe I could find an organization that I really care about that's doing activism or is fighting and trying to stop climate change. And so we've been talking about which different organizations we could donate to in our life group. And there's been so many great examples, like the Sunrise Movement, which is a youth movement that knocks down Congress people's doors all the time to hold them accountable. Like, Joe Manchin, watch out. He's going to get a lot of door knocking, a lot of phone ringing. And the youth movement's just so ready to hold these people accountable, to really try and make these next 2 years or 4 years or how many ever years really count, so that we can really take ambitious action. So I'm thinking about all these little, these ways to challenge myself, but in a careful way, in a way that's very caring. I think that's all I got for now, Gary.
Thank you so much,
Susti. Thanks for letting me share.
No, that was great. And, you know, Susti also mentioned something that you might have missed, but Susti is not just an eco warrior hero guy. He's also an eco rapper. So this week at the end of service, right as after the final blessing, we are going to show one of Sustainable John's eco raps straight from the street of Beijing. It's going to be pretty cool. I believe it will be a worthy successor to Yanelton's. So stick around after the service if you want to check that out. It'll be fun to just see, like, you know, Siwa has so many amazing talents. So it'll be fun to see that as well. So thank you for sharing, John. Let me now, let's go back to the passage here. And what I'd love to do is just connect what John has shared with the passage. So let's go back to the passage, and then we'll reconnect to John. So again, with this passage, the context of this passage is Jesus is giving a farewell speech to his disciples. He's about to go to the cross, be raised from the dead. It's his last chance to talk to his friends and the future of the church that he's building before he, you know, this is his last chance to talk to them sort of in the flesh. So he's thinking of the most encouraging, the most powerful things to sort of say to his disciples at that time. And so that's where this image comes in. And I really think that same power can come home to us sort of as well. But I also want to acknowledge that, like, the image that's brought up this week is really challenging to take in and to receive as encouraging, right? We talked about how a big theme in this series, and John referred to it a couple times, is that as we're connected, we connect to receive God's challenge and to receive God's care, that both of those go together. And they're actually not that different. Like, one of the ways God cares for us is by challenging us. And so in this passage, we see this powerful picture that you sort of can't unsee as cutting as caring. Like, this picture of, like, pruning a vine and cutting stuff down. So it's this picture of, like, we are these branches and Jesus is the trunk. And the Father, God, is the one who carefully cuts and prunes the branches to achieve maximum fruitfulness, not just within the individual branches, but also within the plant as a whole too, like us as a community as a whole. Now, I know from my amateur farming experience, that is my blueberry plants on the deck, and I love these blueberry plants so much that I think 3 Easters ago, I took a picture of them and they were the big thing I shared about for Easter. So I love these blueberry plants, but here's my blueberry update. Like, I think I get like half a pint of blueberries a year now. So like, it's a terrible deal. Like I water this plant like every two or three times a week all year round, and I get half a pint once a year. That is a bad deal. I should just go to Berkeley Bowl, right? So I was ready to give up on my, and they're not that attractive, right? So there's these plants. I was ready to just give up on them and replace them with a sunflower or something that at least looked pretty. But then I realized like, oh, and sorry, this is really lame, but I realized like, you have to actually prune blueberry plants or they won't be fruitful. And I didn't even know that. So of course I looked at the YouTube video and I figured out how to trim them. So now I've pruned them. And I think they're going to be really fruitful this year. And so that's like the picture, right? The picture is of this, like, maybe here's another one, is like, is God as the Father as like this very careful bonsai artist, right? You picture this bonsai, like, expert or master who's looking at his bonsai tree and just discerning and looking from another angle, and then comes in and just carefully makes one cut. To Jake bake it just right. That's the picture of the Father's, the way the Father challenges us and cares for us through his pruning. And then you see here too, interesting, just a third picture, that third verse talks about how we've already been cleansed. And in Greek, as you know, Dr. Bruce confirmed with me last night, the Greek for like pruning and cleansing is actually the same thing. And so we have here a picture of how like we've already been cleansed. Like when we first came to know Jesus, like there was this, God really fixed us up just right. And so now as we continue in faith, there's just this occasional like way that God prunes us, prunes the things that are unfruitful and that are growing all at crazy angles and that are dead, that God actually gives us more fruitfulness and more growth sort of in this season. And I really think this is a powerful word for this season, because this is a season which it might be hard to embrace growth. Like we're just trying to like deal with survival and like, you know, we're humans, we're not plants. And so like the idea of cutting sounds painful. Like that doesn't sound great. Like, thanks a lot for that image that I now can't unsee. But again, for a plant, like just the right cuts brings life and bring fruitfulness. And I think that that's the picture for us. But actually, I think we need just a couple more very quick caveats about what it means, how God cares for us through challenging us in this sort of pruning ministry. First of all, I think I just want to say that acknowledge the pain that we're all going through in various ways now, that this is a season in which we're experiencing a lot of loss. You know, like one of the things John just talked about is like disconnection from family, that one of the, you know, one of the things about not flying, that that's really painful because the people he loves are far and those plane flights are ways to connect. And so that's a real source of pain. And I know that, you know, we are all as a community experiencing sort of daily, either chronic or acute pains that we haven't experienced for, and we're going through that. And so I think God knows that, and God, as a master gardener, is challenging us in a way that we can really receive. And so I just want to sort of remind us that, you know, from the beginning. The second thing I want to say, a very important caveat, because we actually talked about this in my Bible study this week where we looked at this same passage, and everybody disliked the pruning passages, you know, because it's an image of sort of cutting. And also, I think because some of us who have experience in church might have sort of heard things like, when hard things happen in your life, like a pandemic, well, God did that to you, but he's bringing it out for your good. And now this gets really complicated. We're in deep waters theologically here. But what I want to say is that I don't view the pandemic as God's pruning, that God somehow like sent a virus throughout the whole world and caused 400,000 people to die in the United States so that we at CWOW could be pruned and we could grow further and stronger. Like that is not the picture of God that I'm sharing with you. That is not the picture of how I see God at work in the world. And again, these are mysteries and people see things differently, but here's the picture of pruning that I want to share with you. And there's two things. First of all, this is not about God sending a pandemic so he can prune stuff from us. This is about how God, as a master gardener, actually redeems bad things that he did not even cause, right? There are evil things in the world, like viruses and wars and dictators and injustice and racism, that God did not cause. And yet, God is at work redeeming those situations to bring out growth and healing and fruitfulness in our lives. Does that make sense? So the picture of God as this gardener, as this bonsai master, is of God redeeming things that he did not cause. And so God has this ministry in your life of, and so the other thing that happened is, like, we are not today talking about how, like, God's going to prune some more stuff for you. This is sort of a picture of, like, in the pandemic, we have all already experienced a sort of cutting off of things that have been good in our lives. And so the question really for CWOW this morning is, how is God going to redeem that those losses that we've had and that we live in this very morning? How is God going to challenge us to actually, like, lock in those gains, those learnings, those experiences that have been hard, but could even bring good things? You know, I think about Mike Chen's sermon a couple weeks ago, where he said, you know, CWOW, our goal is not to just go back to normal. Our goal is to receive the good things that God wants to do in this season, and actually to come out even stronger, to come out even more fruitful. And so that's the picture that God has for us. It might be hard to receive, but let it be hard to receive because it's too hopeful for you, right? That's the hope. You're like, man, I don't have that much hope in me. That's okay. God wants to give us that hope. And maybe we can only receive that hope together as a community. Maybe that's why we're in a season of getting back into life groups, receiving God's challenge together, and believing that hope that we can actually grow, become more fruitful, become more, we can thrive more even after this season. So that's this picture of God together in our lives. God is revealing how God wants to redeem the losses that we've had. God wants to guide us how to, like, grab hold of those, and God is strengthening us to grab hold of those as well. So that's why I was so inspired when John shared last week, and that's why I was so inspired by John's sharing this morning, because it is this picture of John sort of cooperating with God's work in his life to take something that's been a loss, a cutting off of, like, connection with his family and fun vacations with his wife, you know, things that he hasn't been able to do. But he's been able to, like, take the care that God has put in his life for the creation, for the poor, for those who, you know, would be climate refugees if we continue with business as usual. And he's been able to say, like, look, I had this cutting, I didn't fly. And wasn't that cool the way he's able to just say, not just, like, be crushed by that, but to say, like, maybe I could use this for future fruitfulness. You know, maybe I could cut back on half of my flights and I could actually do that with joy. You could sort of see God's grace in his life. And you can see, like, because of his love for creation and those who would be hurt by climate change, he's like, yeah, I actually want to do that. You know, this sort of pruning wasn't something that God forced on John and made him do, made him bitter. This is something that he's like, this is cool. I want to do this. John's like, I want to do this so much that I want to make graphs about it. You know, and then I want to share it. I want to share it with my friends at CWOW. And as he did that in our group, like, we were all like, that is so cool. Like, that's awesome. We want to do that too. And, you know, somebody even, like, tweeted about it. Like, if I tweeted about anything, I would tweet about John's presentation. And then, like, we all thought about, like, oh, I wonder if we could cut back on our flying. And then we, like, well, let's support each other and let's do this carbon tax thing. And so there's this sense in which the work of God to prune in one branch of us can like spread to other branches. And then there's a way that the whole tree is more beautiful and more fruitful and more and thrives. And so, you know, John, that was just one example. I know there are many examples of this in our congregation. You know, I think about, you know, I've talked for years about how the Bible calls us to live simply so we can give generously to those who are poor and oppressed. Like, that's a beautiful thing that God, that the Bible calls us to. But of course, in our consumeristic society, in which we all feel like economic threats and insecurity, it's very hard to live simply. And yet we have this really interesting gift of like having a lot of our opportunities for spending like cut off. All of a sudden, like, you know, when we do our giving weeks, we're more generous than ever. I know that some of us have really lost income. And so that's a cutting off. That's a different sort of cutting off. But many others of us have noticed that we actually have more money because we spend less now. And is there a way that God can, and God has used that to increase our generosity? So then the question is, Siwa, what's that going to be like in a year? Have there been gains through this season in simplicity for the sake of generosity that we can hold on to and that we can become a long-term part of our DNA? You know, I think about just talking to various people who have talked about during this pandemic, there have been real family challenges. Some of us have had a harder season than ever with our family. And yet also, some of us have talked about how there have been blessings of connection, like family meals. Who knew that, you know, you could have family meals this often? It's been a real gift. The question would be, how do we value our family in the long term? How do we lock in those gifts of grace now that this pruning has happened? How do we cooperate with the Father who wants to help us make that growth long term? Even the way we see our church, I am more encouraged. I keep saying this. I don't apologize for this. Sorry, not sorry. Like every week I come to CWOW and I feel more encouraged than ever to be together with you all. And I feel like I will value when we are able to see each other face to face, I will value that even more. Because we've had so many losses of other things that have been cut out of our life, in a way, the value of our faith community, it sort of grows. So then the question is, how can we lock in those gains of growth right now? How can we say yes to that fruiting that has happened? But it's going to change. Like things are going to change back. And so how do we take the opportunities to really have a carbon footprint, which brings life to the planet, to have a budgetary lifestyle, a financial lifestyle, which is a massive blessing to the poor and oppressed of the world? A commitment to a faith community that really values the connection that we have there, a connection to family, all of these possible things. And see, well, I want to ask this question to us right now because the pandemic isn't over. I think now is the time to be like tracking with God, and God is saying, God, how have you been at work in this season with the things that have been cut off? How are you redeeming that in my life? And how can that really be sustainable so that when we have this conversation next year, like next January of 2022, how can these good things, there's so many bad things, so many hard things, but some of these good things that God is using to release into our DNA, how can those become a permanent part of our church and of our faith community and of our experience together as spiritual friends? So this week, I just want to encourage you to stop and look and listen and reflect on ways that God might be at work in this season that would be our unique opportunities. In this year, the almost year that we've had together, are there ways that God's pruning has been present that you can see just the way, you know, John saw when he looked at that graph? Are there things, and you know, it might be that very topic. It might be something totally different for you this week. And then like John, can you also sort of share that with others in this community? Can you sort of talk about like, hey, I think God is growing me in this way and I'm actually excited about it. I think that one of the ways you know you're growing, you know God's at work in your growth when you're actually excited about it. You know, sometimes God's challenge comes and you're like resisting and it's hard. A lot of times God's challenge comes and you have this yes inside of you. You're like, yeah. Like nobody was telling John that he had to like lecturing him and making him feel guilty about his plane flight. Like there's this great website called Shame Plane, where you can like see what your carbon footprint is for a plane flight and you can feel shame and maybe that will motivate you. Whatever, if that works for you, that's great. But God's work is through grace. And God gives us this desire to say, yeah, I want to grow in that way. And so where do you see the grace of God in your life to challenge you, to prune you and to shape you to be just the kind of person that is fruitful, that God wants us to be, and that we can be together as a community. Let me pray for us, and we will move on into our time of worship. God, thank you for your pruning in our lives. Thank you for that your challenge is the way you care to us. Thank you that you redeem the hard things in our life. Thank you that we are not beaten down, but that we do not have to be fully crushed and beaten down by this pandemic, but that God, you can redeem it, that you can bring us grace, that you can bring us growth. And Lord, I know that's hard though, God. Lord, give us eyes to see. And Lord, put us in conversations and relationships where we can see that, where others can show us that when we can't see it for ourselves. Lord, I just want to pray in Jesus' name, your blessing on each of our life groups this week. Lord, I pray that they would be life groups that are full of grace. I pray that we would know more and more you, Father, as this one who challenges us and brings us life. And Lord, I pray for people for whom the words pruning and challenge, Lord, feel like legalistic and feel death dealing, Lord. Lord, I have the grace to help us see you in a new way. Lord, I feel like I see that. But Lord, I just pray that it would be you that would be showing us that sort of as a community. And Lord, I pray that you would be showing us that as we continue to worship, as we take the Eucharist together too. Jesus, come and challenge us. Come and care for us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.